talking to this very beautiful woman. We get into the house. Again, remember, no language, no communication. As we start to have sex, she looks at me in the eyes in the most deepest way.
Yeah.
And she says, I gonorrhea. I'm a little drunk.
Yeah.
She's a little drunk. In my mind, she's telling me that she has gonorrhea. And I start thinking, I'm like, what the f*** is going on?
Hola, bienvenidos a una nueva conversación completamente en inglés, donde vamos a practicar tu oído, tu escucha, tu gramática, vocabulario, todo mediante la mejor práctica que puedes hacer con tu inglés, y es consumirlo, escucharlo. He invitado a mi vecino Daniel para tener esta conversación porque él tiene unas experiencias muy interesantes que está compartiendo en esta conversación. Fue miembro del ejército en Estados Unidos, se mudó a Colombia y vivió en las comunas, y en general es un hombre muy pensativo, con muchas opiniones y perspectivas, historias graciosas sobre nuestras diferencias culturales que estoy seguro que te va a encantar. Si no entiendes muy bien el inglés todavía, no te preocupes. Puedes colocar subtítulos tanto en inglés como en español, pero trata de desafiarte un poco. Trata de ver la conversación con subtítulos en inglés y si hay algunas partes que sientes que no entiendes mucho, puedes rebobinar y poner esas partes con subtítulos en español. Espero que te vaya a gustar. Yo soy Kalle Anders, tu coach de inglés y tu sueco favorito. Empecemos.
I was working in Australia for a Swedish company. I had 1 year left to finish my master's degree back home, but I decided I want to travel.
Why Australia?
Because the startup company had just expanded their business to Australia, and they needed someone there. And so they asked me, hey, do you want to work in Sweden or Australia? And I had just been on an exchange year in Mexico for a year. So I was high on the whole travel.
I have so many questions for you. Did you get into surfing? Did you go to the Outback? Like, what was...
I did.
If you were to highlight one point, whether it be recommending to your friends or family or people watching your podcast,
yeah,
what would be one thing about Australia that really stood out?
Nature.
Really?
What would be one thing about Australia that really stood out? Stand out significa resaltar o destacar. Y stood out es el pasado de stand out, como resaltó. Entonces él quería saber, ¿qué fue lo que más te llamó la atención o que era más especial de Australia?
What would be one thing about Australia that really stood out?
Nature.
Nature, really?
100%.
Me too.
The most, you've been to Australia?
No, but I'm a big nature guy.
Yeah. It's the most impressive nature that I've ever seen. And it's massive.
Like the Outback specifically?
Yeah.
The Outback se refiere al campo, una naturaleza, pero muy lejana, muy lejos de la civilización. The Outback. Yo viví en Australia. Australia es un país enorme. Entonces hay muchísima naturaleza súper lejana de cualquier ciudad. Entonces lo llamamos The Outback.
Like the Outback specifically?
Yeah. Well, just in general. I mean, you can go 15 minutes outside the city and you're in like this huge, like, what's it called? Like ecological, like... What's it called when you can't touch the land?
Like a reserve.
Like a reserve, a massive one. We went to Fraser Island.
I actually thought you were Australian.
Really?
When I met you, yeah.
I actually thought you were Australian. I actually thought you were Australian. Thought es el pasado del verbo think, pensar. Entonces, cuando él dice, I actually thought, eso quiere decir, yo de verdad pensé. I actually thought you were Australian. Yo de verdad pensé que tú eras australiano.
We went to Fraser Island.
I actually thought you were Australian.
Really?
When I met you, yeah.
We went to, do you know what Fraser Island
No.
is? It's a big island outside the coast in New South Wales, which is where Sydney is.
Fraser Island. Es una isla fuera de Australia, hermosa.
Do you know what Fraser Island No. is? It's a big island outside the coast in New South Wales, which is where Sydney is. And they have dingoes there.
Dingo es como un perro salvaje en la naturaleza en Australia. Y muy peligroso.
And they have dingoes there. And just like, there's like bunch of like woods and also desert. It's like really crazy. And the sky that you see there is the most impressive thing you'll ever see. Like if you look at the sky, it's so clear because there's no ozone layer in Australia. Barely. Because they used...
I was like, what the...
Off the coast of Australia in the 50s, I think. They blew up a lot of bombs, nuclear bombs. And so it basically just opened up the entire sky.
How long did you stay out there for?
In that island? Two nights.
And in Australia? In total,
a year and a half.
It's weird. I'm trying to like speak English and not Spanish right now.
Yeah.
Crazy.
No, but I lived in Sweden. I studied engineering at a good university. Had the opportunity to do a year abroad. Chose Mexico because I didn't have the grades to go to Stanford and Australia. And
I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you. Es una expresión que quiere decir... Me too. Yo también. I'm right there with you.
Stanford and Australia and...
I'm right there with you.
Yeah. Decided I'll go to Mexico. Mexico seems fun. Went to Mexico for a year and it was the best year of my life. I learned Spanish. I got introduced to the Latin American culture and really just fell in love with it immediately.
Let me ask you a question real quick. Did you believe that you were going to be able to speak Spanish before moving to Mexico? And I only ask that because I always thought that I took Spanish in high school. Yeah. I took a couple of courses, Duolingo, obviously.
Yeah.
But I, for some reason, thought I was never going to be able to learn a second language and also never going to be able to learn how to play music until actually immersing myself into the language. So did you already have any type of foundation before living in Mexico?
Did you have any type of foundation before moving to Mexico? Did you have... Tuviste. Recuerda que hacemos preguntas en inglés con el verbo do. Do you have? Tienes. Did you have? Tuviste. Entonces, la pregunta, did you already have any foundation? Eso quiere decir, ¿ya tuviste algún base, alguna fundación en tu español antes de ir a México?
Did you already have any type of foundation before living in Mexico?
Yeah.
And if not...
I did. I had studied a little bit of Spanish in school, and I had done Duolingo and stuff, but I had the conviction, because English is a second language in Sweden. Right, we don't learn English until we're like 8, 9 years old, or 10 years old, basically. And then at 13, 14, they start teaching you a third language. It's not very serious, but English, I spoke fluent English when I was 16 years old, right? And so...
So your brain was a little more plastic, so you probably picked it up a lot faster.
Yeah, I mean, and I also had the... I think the conviction that you are able to do it, like the security and the certainty that I'm actually able to do this, that's...
Well, I feel like part of it is not being shy in public and not speaking. I think the biggest obstacle I'm having right now is there's a couple friends I hang out with, two women and then two men.
Yeah.
And we spend so much time together. And when I had met them, they spoke no English.
Yeah.
So the problem that we're having is we spend so much time together that we've actually developed our own language, where it's literally a Spanglish, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of cliche.
That's kind of cliche. Kinda es una palabra de relleno. Significa como. Es como cliché.
That's kind of cliche. But where I can say something along the lines of, hey, pasarme la basa, porfa.
Uh-huh.
To you, that's garbage Spanish. But to this group of people, we have profound conversations with the worst English and the worst Spanish. Yeah. And I spend so much time with them that it's getting to the point where I have to be like, hey, Laura, speak to me in Spanish, please.
Yeah.
Like real Spanish.
Yeah.
But... To kind of go back on what you were saying is, I feel like having courses or immersing yourself into the culture is going to be a lot better than taking classes in, say,
Look,
a high school, right?
The scientific definition of language acquisition, we don't say language learning because you don't learn language, you acquire language, is exposure to messages, sentences, phrases, that contain an unknown word and you know the rest of the words. So if you want to learn a new word, for example, if you don't know what ingenuo means.
Which I don't know what that means.
Perfect. And then I might say, no, he got kidnapped because he went to this dangerous area because he was too ingenuo.
Ingenuo.
That was a bad example. someone who gets taken advantage of, sometimes because they put themselves in bad situations... Because they might be a little bit ingenuo.
I'm definitely that word. I'm serious.
In English?
In English, it would be almost like a false sense of security.
Yeah, or...
Or a risk, like riesgo. Like very, a risk taker, or... I have the word on the tip of my tongue.
I have the word on the tip of my tongue. Eso quiere decir, yo tengo la palabra en la puntica de mi lengua. Yo entiendo la palabra, pero no sé cuál es. I have the word on the tip of my tongue.
I have the word on the tip of my tongue.
But let's say, okay, so for the sake of the explanation,
okay.
Right? So let's say you want to learn the word naive.
Okay.
All right? Naive is ingenuo. That was where
okay.
I was going, right? But you acquire that word, ingenuo, without getting a translation to it, if I had done a better example, right? So that's how we actually learn languages, by consuming sentences. And as a child, the sentences are very small, like hello, good morning, food, things like that. But we acquire languages when there is one unknown word in full sentences and we know the rest of the words, right? And so what you're saying with, you know, being immersed in a culture and consuming a lot, that's so true, because what you need to do to learn a language is just consume a lot. So it's cause and effect.
It's cause and effect. Causa y efecto.
So it's cause and effect. If you want to speak better Spanish, you got to listen to more Spanish. If you want to write with better grammar, you got to read more Spanish with good grammar. That's how language learning works. And what happens is when you live in another country, you obviously need to consume the language a lot because you're surrounded by people who talk that language. And so it's just a perfect way to learn a language because you are automatically doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
But it's not necessary. And that's the point I want to come across here, because a lot of my audience, they don't live in the US. They live here. They live in Latin America. And so they think, some of them, many of them, that they need to go to the US to learn English. They need to go to the UK. And that's just not true. I learned Portuguese from a hotel room in Cancun. I've learned French from here, from that desk over there, because I've been doing what you're supposed to be doing, which is consuming over and over again.
So there's a recipe to it.
Yeah, there's a recipe.
There's a specific way that it has to be done.
Exactly.
I think something interesting that I found living in Medellin is one of the trickiest things to me,
tricky, difícil, trickiest, más difícil. One of the trickiest things for me, una de las cosas más difíciles para mí.
One of the trickiest things for me, a box is a caja.
Yeah.
So I remember being in a taxi and I was telling the taxi driver a funny joke or a funny story. And he said to me, okay, caja.
Yeah.
But in my mind, and this happens to me a lot here.
Yeah.
Right? Chimba, caja, parse, taco.
Yeah.
And for me, I think there was a little bit of a learning curve, because when those words came up in sentence, when those words would come up in conversation in their true form, caja being box, I would be hesitant to use the word.
Yeah.
Because I started realizing that a lot of words, especially in this city in Medellin, they have a lot of different significance.
Yeah.
So like caja, for example, it means funny.
Yeah.
But it also means box.
Yeah.
Box. Escucha la pronunciación nativa americana. No dicen box, caja, dicen box. Box. Los vocales en inglés son largos. Se pronuncia de forma super larga. Box. ¿Okay? Es por eso que un gringo dice, por ejemplo, comida. Porque hay muchos vocales en esa palabra. O-I-A. O-I-A. Entonces, si quieres sonar un poquito más nativo, un poquito más americano, pronuncia los sonidos vocales de forma más larga. Box.
So, like caja, for example, it means funny.
Yeah.
But it also means box.
Yeah.
And when you think of like language theory in general, at least the way my brain functions is I want to make a connection between why, like, maybe, let me ask you, do you know, because I don't, do you know why the word caja is used? Like, why do they use the word caja?
I don't know that.
Like, those are the things that help me learn language, because trying to understand the significance between the words and why.
And that is one of the main
like,
problems.
Like, what's up? Que más? What's up? Que más is what's more.
Exactly.
Like, why are we saying what's more? And how does that connect to the culture?
Exactly.
Even a lot of the people that are listening probably don't even realize why they say the things they say. Why do we say what's up?
Exactly. Do you know?
No, I don't. But I would be really interested to find out.
Yeah. And you know, this is actually one of the main problems being a language learner as an adult, because we're too analytical. We're too smart. We're too thinking. We're thinking too much. And that stops us from just consuming and just accepting the meaning of whatever we're consuming for what it is, right? So if you actually want to learn a language as fast as possible, you should adopt the mentality of a child, the child mentality. If a child makes a mistake, they don't feel bad. If a child says something wrong, their parents don't tell them, hey, that was wrong because of this and this and this. They just repeat what the child said, but in the correct way. So they get the consumption. A child is never, you know, embarrassed about the fact that their language isn't fully developed.
Wow. You're giving me a paradigm shift right now.
So
that's
if
true.
You want to learn a language, adopt the child mentality. You are a child in a new language. You are a child. Behave accordingly.
I think now I'm at the point where I want to sound cool, right? Like, like children aren't worried about sounding cool yet.
Exactly.
Now I know enough words to where when I'm communicating with people, especially being here so long and spending time in certain neighborhoods, you hear words like bacano and like, what was it? I asked a local today. I wanted him to tell me what word would be used for edgy.
Yeah.
Like someone looks edgy. What do you know? Is there a word for that? Edgy?
Cool.
So somebody was talking to me yesterday. One of my buddies here is from Cali. And he was like, Dan, he's like, you know, when you're talking about your business or when you're talking to women or when you're talking, you know, to some of the locals here, you haven't really developed your personality within your language yet.
Exactly.
Like when you're talking in English, you're a cool guy, right? Yeah. You have your little quirks and...
Quirks. Quirks significa peculiaridades. Cuando hablas en tu idioma nativo, tienes muchos quirks.
¿verdad? Que todavía no has podido llevar a tu segundo idioma. Y es algo que lleva tiempo. Es un problema para todos los aprendices de idiomas que no podemos expresar toda nuestra personalidad en un segundo o tercer idioma, porque esas peculiaridades usando el idioma vienen después de muchos años dominando el idioma. Así que paciencia, chicos, y recuerden que el aprendizaje de idiomas es un maratón, no una carrera.
You're a cool guy, right? Yeah. You have your little quirks, and it really, our language really helps personify our personality.
Exactly.
But in Spanish, unless I'm doing what you told me to do and really putting myself into that child's mentality, I wonder, and you need to not do this, how stupid I sound or how boring I sound, right? Because I want to have more of an, I want to have more of an edge.
I want to have more of an edge. Quiero tener más de una ventaja. Edge realmente significa borde. Por ejemplo, the edge of the table, el borde de la mesa. Pero también significa ventaja, okay? Quiero tener una ventaja.
I want to have more of an edge, right? I want to be able to speak. It's hard to articulate what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I think you're kind of understanding that.
I know, because I've been there.
I want to sound cool, right? I want to be able to
speak
and let someone that I just met learn my personality a little bit from my language.
And also because you're a smart guy. And so if you're talking in another language, it's kind of like it hurts your ego when you talk in a new language.
100%.
Because you feel less intelligent.
100%.
And you're worried that the people are going to think that you are less intelligent. And that, for me, was a big struggle.
Especially going on like a first date or something, you know?
Dude, I went to a first date, and I told a girl, I actually told a girl's mother that that I'm horny.
Estoy caliente.
Yeah, and
you were trying to say you were hot.
Exactly.
Estoy caliente.
Yeah, dude. I've made so many mistakes. But then
I think I've done the same thing by saying excitado.
Yeah, like, excitado.
Estoy emociones.
Emocionado, estoy excitado. Two different things.
It's like an old woman at the grove. I was excited to try this fruit I'd never tried, and I told this old lady, estoy excitado.
Oh, no!
Kind of like I was trying. I don't know what it looked like, but...
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
I don't know.
If someone said that to a... Oh.
Well, just imagine if someone said it to you. Well, obviously, you're also an intelligent guy, so you probably... And you work in language, you understand.
I would understand.
But your average person in the States, if someone looked at you and said something like, holding a watermelon, I'm so horny.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like... I've been here now for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
And I'm understanding now for the first time in my life. And again, sometimes even in my language, in English, it's hard to articulate what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And speaking with a language expert, I am actually learning like so much of the science that goes into communicating. And it's actually really profound.
There's actually some good news. And that is, to all of us who are ashamed of speaking in another language, there's actually some good news. And the good news is you never need to speak in a language to learn how to speak in a language. You can be completely...
What do you mean by that?
You can be completely silent for 2 years, just consuming. And then if you need to talk after 2 years, it just flows out of your mouth perfectly.
Interesting.
Because that's how language learning works. And so...
With music too?
What you consume has to be comprehensible. So it's called, in language learning science, we call it comprehensible input. So if you want to learn by watching movies, listening to music, reading stuff online, you have to understand it. Because if you don't understand it, you're not learning. Remember, it comes back to that definition of language learning. To learn something, you need to understand 99% of it. There can just be one unknown thing. We call it I plus one sentences.
So would it make more sense, based on what you're saying, for someone trying to learn Spanish, to watch a movie in Spanish with English subtitles, or to watch a movie in English with Spanish subtitles, or is there no correlation to what you're trying to
say?
You
should never watch a movie with subtitles in your language. Why? Because your brain is automatically going to focus on what's most comprehensible. It's going to be the same as watching a movie in Chinese. You're not going to learn any Spanish. Very little.
Okay.
On the flip side,
por otro lado, o de lo contrario, pero dicha de una forma más casual, on the flip side,
it's very hard to put on a Spanish movie and put Spanish subtitles and understand anything, right? So there's a gap there. And one method that we use in my course is we try to make the students independent of the subtitles by going through the same piece of content in different levels. So let's say I tell you a story in Spanish. And the first time you hear the story, you're gonna hear it with English subtitles, right? And then I'm gonna read you the same story again, but with Spanish subtitles. And then I'm gonna read it to you again without subtitles.
Would you watch it the first time in your native language?
That's okay.
The absolute first time?
Exactly. That's okay. So if you watch a movie today in Spanish with English subtitles, that's okay if you're gonna watch it again.
Okay.
That's okay.
Interesting.
So coming back to what I was saying, there's some hope to all of us insecure people who don't want to be embarrassed in public. You don't really need to talk. What conversation practice actually serves you, not because you're going to improve your speaking, but because you're going to improve your confidence. And you're going to get rid of fear and shame and mental blocks. So that's why in my course, we have something called the Conversation Club, which is basically you go in a group with other people online in a video call, and you just talk. Zero correction, zero critique, and just talking. Not for the sake of improving your speaking, because improving your speaking, you do listening, okay? For the sake of improving your confidence and just being in a group where no one's judging you.
When referring to confidence specifically,
yeah,
I struggle the most when talking with older people, especially here in Medellin. I don't understand why, but they don't understand anything that I say.
So, in Spanish or English?
In Spanish.
Yeah.
But it does all start with having the confidence to speak in the first place.
Yes.
So, to touch on your point.
To touch on your point, para tocar tu punto, para referirme a la conclusión que acabas de dar, algo así.
To touch on your point, I think that conversation club would really be beneficial to me, not only just to learn the language, but to actually build up the confidence that I need to get into a taxi and talk to a paisa,
exactly,
a paisa viejito, who, when he speaks to me, it sounds like he's speaking a different language. Exactly. I'll tell him, you know, ¿cómo estás? ¿Eres paisa? And he'll look at me and say, no entiendo. And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, this is one of those viejitos.
Yeah.
This is one of the old paisa men who does not understand anything unless I'm speaking it specific.
Yeah.
But that does two things to me. It, one, gets me frustrated.
Yes.
Because I'm a human, I get frustrated at him. Why do you not understand me? And then two, it really almost like retards my confidence.
It almost
debilitates me for the next time I get into a taxi and I see a man that's over 70 years old.
Yeah.
I don't want to speak Spanish. That's been also another one of my struggles here is some people really understand me and some people don't understand a damn thing I say, so I don't know what I'm saying correctly.
Yeah.
And then that's not even incorporating the costeños who speak really fast.
Yeah.
I haven't even met an old person costeño.
Yeah, that's
Do you have a hard time speaking to like some of the older people that have the really thick accents, or you pretty much got it?
I have a hard time with children.
Interesting. Understanding?
No, just understanding and talking. Because you talk in a different way with children. And I've never practiced that in my entire life. And so what you never practice, you don't have confidence in. Imagine, like, you can put the most confident guy in an airplane to fly 200 passengers across the Atlantic Ocean. He's not going to be very confident.
You know, something I noticed about children.
Children
are good at putting together puzzles, though. So, like, you can just speak in, like, code words.
Yeah.
And children are going to figure out what you're trying to say. Like, there'll be a mother and her child on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And I'll get into a conversation with them.
Yeah.
And the child will be, like, assisting the mother to understand what I'm saying. I think there's something magical there. I think kids definitely, kids can definitely put things together a lot.
But coming back to the situation in the taxi.
Yes.
So I've been there, right, myself, with many languages that I've learned. And what I found is...
What I've found. Aquí uso una contracción de I have. What I have found. Lo que he encontrado. Found es el pasado del verbo find, encontrar. Found, encontré o encontró. What I've found, lo que he encontrado.
And what I found is we should never actually judge ourselves based on our speaking capacity. Because our speaking capacity is a direct consequence of our listening capacity. And there's always going to be a gap. Your listening is always going to be three levels above your speaking. And so what you should always judge yourself on is your listening ability, your ability to understand. Because also, what creates fluency in a conversation? Understanding, comprehension. If you understand what he says, right? And he understands somewhat what you say, if you use your arms and hands and stuff, you have a conversation. Right? But if there's no comprehension, there's no fluency. There's no conversation.
Understand.
Right? So
I got you.
The main focus should be listening, listening, listening. Don't care about speaking. Don't worry about speaking. Pronunciation, by the way, which is probably one reason why he doesn't understand you, is something that comes later. Right? You hear my English right now. It's pretty good. But I used to talk like this with a very Swedish accent. It's very horrible to listen to and very hard for some Americans to understand. But I've practiced. But more so, have I listened to a lot of Americans during 15 years, just consuming, consuming, consuming. And so pronunciation, I tell my students pronunciation is 80-90% listening, 10% training. It's actually harder for Spanish speakers to have a good pronunciation in English than it is for you to have a good pronunciation in Spanish. And that's because in English, you have 44 sounds. In Spanish, it has about 24 sounds. So there are 20 new sounds, or more actually, that the Spanish speakers need to learn to be able to pronounce good English.
So English is definitely more difficult than...
English is more difficult in with pronunciation and with listening. With listening, because it's a non-phonetic language. What that means is that every letter is not pronounced the same way in every single word, or a letter can be pronounced in different ways. Spanish, the most phonetic language is actually Finnish. So if you look at a Finnish text, it's going to look really, really weird. So many letters, like the words are this long. That's because they pronounce every single letter all the time in the exact same way. Spanish is more like that. So learning Spanish pronunciation is a bit easier because they don't eat the words or letters as much as...
For example, apple or ape.
Exactly.
Apple or ape. Okay. Mm. Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
That's super interesting.
Talk to me about you. Skip that part because the conversation was...
my experience in Medellin has basically evolved around getting over that language barrier.
Yeah.
Language barrier. Barrera del idioma. Su mayor dificultad desde que llegó a Medellín.
Getting over that language barrier.
Yeah.
From day one all the way until where we're at now.
Why did you come to Medellín in the first place?
It's a good question.
Why did you come to Medellín? Realmente estamos usando el verbo auxiliar do para hacer preguntas en inglés. Why do you come to Medellín? ¿Por qué vienes a Medellín? Why did you come to Medellín? ¿Por qué viniste a Medellín? ¿Ves cómo la gramática en inglés es súper sencilla? Y es porque estamos usando estos verbos auxiliares, verbos de ayuda, para ayudarnos a no tener que conjugar un montón de verbos, simplemente conjugar ese verbo y el resto se mantiene lo mismo. Una cosa chévere del inglés.
Why did you come to Medellín in the first place?
It's a good question. I had a pretty decent business in the States. COVID, typical COVID story.
Yeah.
Business got destroyed.
Yeah.
And wanted to kind of start off somewhere else. I actually went to the airport and I'd never been to Colombia before. I was just a little frustrated at the U.S.
Yeah.
And I told the lady at the desk at American Airlines, I was like, hey, I want the next flight out of the country. I don't care where it is.
Wow.
It doesn't matter to me.
Wow.
It was either, I think it was Lithuania or Medellin.
Wow.
And I came to Medellin, never been to Colombia before, ever. Got off the plane.
Nothing against Lithuania, but you made a good decision.
You know, I love it here. And now that I'm learning the language, it's definitely, things are going a lot more smooth. I can tell you actually a funny story if you want to hear it.
Yeah.
So, first off, just to throw this out there, I paid 400 for my first taxi from the airport to Poblado because I didn't know any better.
400,000
yes.
Colombian pesos.
And as you know, it should have been, you know, 80 to 100.
Yeah.
Just before I get into the story, other than language, just being completely taken advantage of as a gringo here, but it's not anything.
To be taken advantage of significa ser aprovechado. Take advantage es tomar provecho. Entonces, cuando alguien dice, I don't like to be taken advantage of, significa no me gusta ser aprovechado. O que tomen provecho, aprovecho de mí, literalmente.
Other than language, just being completely taken advantage of as a gringo here, but it's not anything methodical or deviant. It's just the culture, right? It's just the people look at us and they can get a couple extra dollars into something. It's not that they're trying to put us into a bad position. They're just trying to put themselves into a better position.
Exactly.
And I learned that. There's no hatred towards the people here. I love the culture. I absolutely love it here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so getting off the plane, knowing no Spanish, for me, I looked at it as an adventure.
Yeah.
And I knew it was going to be a problem. I just didn't realize the level or the amount of issues I was going to have moving forward.
Yeah.
So I had never really been with a Colombian woman.
Yeah.
Honestly, everyone says Colombians are the most beautiful women in the world, which they are very beautiful.
Yeah.
And I actually came here looking for more of a stable relationship, to be honest.
Yeah.
But again, remember, so as I tell the story, remember, there's zero ability for me to speak Spanish. I just can't speak any Spanish, nothing.
Yeah.
So I go to a club out here, I think it was called Perro Negro.
Yeah.
And
been there.
Within about 10 minutes,
yeah,
talking to this very beautiful woman.
Yeah.
But we're not really talking.
No.
We're using translator. She doesn't seem to mind. So.
Yeah. Okay.
She doesn't seem to mind. No parece que le importa. Mind es la mente. Pero to mind significa molestarse. Entonces, cuando alguien dice, she doesn't seem to mind significa a ella no parece importarle. She doesn't seem to mind. Seem es parecer. She doesn't seem to mind. A ella no parece importarle, que no sé nada de español, sino que la conversación fluye por el traductor.
Translator. She doesn't seem to mind. So,
okay.
I'm pretty excited about it. You know, we're just doing translator all night long, dancing, drinking. At one point, I think I understood Spanish because I was getting a little buzzed.
I was getting a little buzzed. Buzzed. Jerga para decir borracho. I was getting a little buzzed. Me estaba poniendo un poco borracho.
Because I was getting a little buzzed and she's speaking Spanish and I'm like assuming I know what she's saying and she's going the same way.
Yeah.
So we're dancing all night long and every guy heard, but every guy wants to hear, every single guy hears at the end of the night. He says, hey. She says to me, I know what it means now. She says, vamos por tu casa.
Yeah.
I knew what that means. Without even understanding Spanish, I knew what the word casa meant.
Yeah.
So we get in the taxi and we're going back to my place and my phone died. So in my mind, I'm thinking it's not a big deal. We'll get back to the house. I'll plug it in. We can use translator again.
It's not a big deal. No es gran cosa. Deal es un trato. No es un trato grande. No es una gran cosa que mi celular se murió en camino a mi casa. Porque igual estábamos yendo para la casa los dos.
So in my mind, I'm thinking it's not a big deal. We'll get back to the house. I'll plug it in. We can use translator again. I'm literally not even thinking too much about it. Her phone dies too. Instantly, there's an issue. The taxi driver parks and he's asking me to pay the bill. I don't know exactly how much. So just a little side part of the story is some of these taxi drivers leaving that nightlife part of the city, as you know, will try to upsell and try to get more money out of you.
Of course.
So in my mind, she's arguing with the taxi driver and I don't really understand what's going on, but they're getting pretty heated. He's trying to charge me like...
They're getting pretty heated. Heated significa caloroso. Se están poniendo muy calorosos. Se están poniendo bravos, enojados en el taxi, porque el taxista le quería cobrar más y ella, la chica con quien estaba, no le gustó que el taxista trató de aprovecharse de Daniel.
I don't really understand what's going on, but they're getting pretty heated. He's trying to charge me like 60 mil, which normally it probably should have been about 20 mil. I was living in Envigado when I first lived here.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a couple extra dollars. To her, it's a pretty big deal. She doesn't want the guy she just met getting taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Looking back at it now, that was a good girl.
Yeah.
So, again, not speaking the language, and she's so hot, I was just like, give him fucking 500. I don't want to get out of this taxi.
Yeah.
Eventually, we get into the house. I can't find my phone charger. Her phone's not working. She's naked within like 10 minutes. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
This is my first experience, my first real experience
in
total, not just with women. Just one of my first real experiences. This woman's naked in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh my God.
Yeah.
Is that how it's going to be here?
Yeah.
And I'm not really. And I was a little bit more of a dog when I was younger.
I was a little bit of a dog when I was younger. Fui muy perro de joven. Dog, perro, tiene el mismo doble significado en inglés.
And I was a little bit more of a dog when I was younger.
Yeah.
I'm in my 30s now, so it's not really my style anymore.
Yeah.
But this was a pretty fun experience as of this moment. So we get into the bed, and again, remember, no language, no communication.
Yeah.
As we start to have sex, she looks at me in the eyes in the most deepest way.
Yeah.
And she says, I gonorrhea.
What?
And gonorrhea in the States, as it is here, is a sexual disease.
Yes.
Now, I'm a little drunk.
Yeah.
She's a little drunk. In my mind, she's telling me that she has gonorrhea. I can't even laugh right now because I remember how I felt. I remember feeling disgusted and dirty, like, oh my God, this is my first Colombian experience. I just got an STD.
STD, enfermedad sexual. Ella gritó, como algunas personas hacen aquí en Colombia, aquí en Medellín, hay gonorrea, que es una enfermedad sexual. Pero también es un dicho común aquí. Entonces él pensó que ella estaba diciendo que ella tiene esa enfermedad.
This is my first Colombian experience. I just got an STD. And I remember... My body lost its ability to perform, obviously.
Yeah.
And I wanted her to leave my home.
Yes.
So I said to her in English, because there's no Spanish being spoke.
The phones weren't charged.
I'm pretty much asking her, like, she has to leave my house. I want to take a shower. I feel really weird. Why did she say that? Remember how we were talking about the watermelon example, right? I'm horny. Imagine if you were in the United States as a Spanish-speaking woman.
Yeah.
And you're getting ready to have intercourse or have sex with an American man.
Yeah.
He looks you in the eyes and says the word herpes.
Yeah.
What would you think? Like, why would you say that?
Exactly.
So I'm trying to get her to leave. She's starting to get emotional. She's crying. She looks like she's really embarrassed. Like, Looking back at it now, I think she thinks maybe I didn't like her body or I wasn't attracted. I don't know what it was, but this girl was obviously hurt. And I'm very confused as well. I just want to take a shower and go to bed and go to the doctor's in the morning. So I ask her to leave. I was kind of a little bit of a jerk. I didn't pay for her Uber or nothing. Yeah. Just because I was like, why would you come to my house with gonorrhea?
Yeah.
For me, this was like a pretty big thing.
Yeah.
And she leaves. The next day, I go to the doctor, again, not being able to speak Spanish. And I say to the doctor the word gonorrhea. He instantly thinks, oh, well, let's give this guy a vaccination.
Yeah.
He gives me a shot.
He gives me a shot. A shot es un disparo. También es una toma de una foto. Pero también puede ser una inyección.
He gives me a shot. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm good. Gives me a pill, a shot, I'm good.
Yeah.
That night, I'm at a restaurant, and I see a guy with a shirt on that says gonorrhea.
No!
And I start thinking, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Why? I obviously realized that there's something missing from the puzzle.
Yeah.
Obviously, now I understand that gonorrhea is a word in Medellin. How do you pronounce it correctly?
Gonorrhea.
Gonorrhea.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, fuck, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know? So... yeah, that was one of my first experiences here with language and just my first experiences in general. I saw the girl a couple of weeks later.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't even talk to me.
Oh, my God.
And I was...
did you explain?
I didn't even have the heart to. I was just so embarrassed myself, and I'm sure she was embarrassed.
Dude, that's the craziest story.
But yeah, gonorrhea. I mean, that word is just a disgusting word for it to be a part of culture.
It's disgusting.
I can't believe it.
I don't know why people say it. I hate it. It's the worst word that they have here.
Like how that word started. How it got here.
Yeah.
I started using that word really when I started living in... so I lived in Envigado. I also lived in Comuna Nueva. I moved into Pablo Escobar's Comuna for like 6 months.
Why?
Living in the Comuna for me was initially for me to practice gratitude.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to immerse myself in the language because I thought that that would be the best way for me to learn some of the more local words.
Yeah.
Entonces, Daniel fue a vivir en las comunas en Medellín para hacer una inmersión al 100%, no escuchar nada de inglés, para realmente conocer la cultura y mejorar su español. Muy cool. Y obviamente aprender de toda la historia que tienen ahí.
Living in the comuna for me was initially for me to practice gratitude.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to immerse myself in the language because I thought that that would be the best way for me to learn some of the more local words.
Yeah.
Aside from your Instagram.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of those people don't even have, in the most respectful way, they don't even have the capital to take a cab to Poblado to look for a job, right? These people are hustling every day. They're working really hard. And they're really, truly thankful for the little things.
Yes.
They really are. You know, there were a couple families out there that, you know, I paid the rent a couple months, even just helping the old people. Well, you know, and I'm sure you've been into some of these comunas.
Yes.
But the stairs, yep, they go up high.
Yeah.
So every day I would get home, I would have to walk up these stairs up into the heavens. And you see these old people that are, you know, they're struggling. You know, they're walking up these stairs every single day. They've done it their whole life. I've met people that have never even left that neighborhood.
Yeah.
They spent their entire life, 75, 80 years old, never even left the neighborhood. There's one woman there that has become a friend of mine. She had a stroke about 10 years ago. She can't even leave her bed, and she's never really left the neighborhood.
Wow.
They have never even left that neighborhood. Ellos incluso nunca habían salido de ese barrio en su vida, es lo que está explicando aquí.
I've met people that have never even left that neighborhood.
Yeah.
They spent their entire life, 75, 80 years old, never even left the neighborhood. There's one woman there that has become a friend of mine. She had a stroke about 10 years ago. She can't even leave her bed, and she's never really left the neighborhood.
Wow.
Left es el pasado del verbo leave, irse.
And she's never really left the neighborhood.
Wow.
So her room is concrete walls, concrete floor, and one of the most beautiful souls I've ever met in my entire life.
Yeah.
And for me, growing up in Connecticut, right, and living the last 15 years in Chicago, although I had been to Iraq, going to this neighborhood where it's feared, right? So for me, I spread this word a lot because there's nothing really to fear in those. I wouldn't go in there at night drunk, acting stupid. I don't know why it's feared there.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a whole other conversation that we can have. But for me, it opened up my heart and kind of made me fall in love with Colombia a little more because that's Colombia.
Yep.
Living in Poblado, that's Poblado. That's living in Poblado.
Absolutely.
You want to live in Colombia, you go into some of the comunas, you go into some of the pueblos.
Absolutely.
I've been to Batulia, Urao, Altamira. A-L-T-A. Help me pronounce it, because no one understands
I don't
it. A-L-T-A-M-I-R-A.
Okay.
These are like really little villages.
Yeah.
And it puts my Spanish to the test.
It puts my Spanish to the test. To put something on the test significa poner algo a prueba, ¿verdad? It puts my Spanish to the test. Pone a prueba mi español.
It puts my Spanish to the test.
Yeah.
Right. Yo estoy aprendiendo español, yo entiendo mucho, pero cuando tú hablas rápido, yo no entiendo nada.
Yeah.
Entonces, para mí, los viejitos, yo no entiendo nada.
Exactly.
Y en los pueblitos, yo no entiendo nada. Pero when I'm speaking to people in Poblado, I can understand. But when I go like deep into Colombia, when I go into Colombia,
yeah,
that's where my Spanish really gets tested.
Yeah.
And living in the Comuna, I got a lot of gratitude.
Yeah.
And I also practiced some real Spanish. It got me comfortable because those people aren't there.
No.
To make fun of you. Those people aren't there to steal your confidence from you. They're just happy to see a gringo in the Comuna.
Yeah.
Right?
What I'm trying to do here with all of this, obviously we're helping people learn English, but I mean, ever since I got here, I've had the same, to me, it hurts to see people suffering. I come from a country where there's no poverty. Education is great, available for everyone for free.
Right.
And it's just, to me, it's very clear that education is a big part of taking you out of that stuff, all right? And so I've always tried to encourage as many people as possible to just go online and consume and just try to just learn the language, because just learning English just opens up the world to you, because you're able to educate yourself better. Because for every good book in Spanish, there's 10,000 in English.
You know, so
I wanted to hear your perspective on that, like, living there, what type of advice would you give to those people?
Right. So I think consuming is where it starts. And I think that there's a big difference between consuming and creating. And I feel like it's hard to create without consuming. But if you only consume and you never create, then you're doing yourself a disservice. So, for example, you consumed, right? You consumed, you learned your Spanish, you did what you have to do to consume. But now look at you. You're a creator.
Yeah.
You're creating. And that's where the strength lies. That's where you put yourself to the true test. So all these people that are learning from you, and whether they have money, they don't have money, whether they're Colombian, living in Argentina, or living in the United States, okay, consume your courses, do what you have to do to learn the language, and then what's next? It doesn't stop once you learn the language.
No.
You have to create. You have to put yourself to the test and see, what are you going to do with this language? You have to create. And, you know, for example, these people that are living, you know, in places where maybe opportunity isn't popping up every single day.
Popping up, apareciendo. For all those people living in places where opportunities aren't popping up all the time.
Para todas esas personas que viven en lugares donde las oportunidades no aparecen todo el tiempo. Es lo que está explicando aquí.
You know, for example, these people that are living, you know, in places where maybe opportunity isn't popping up every single day, consuming is where it starts.
Yeah.
And a lot of people aren't even consuming.
No.
But once you're consuming and you have that confidence from your consumption and you've learned these tools, now it's time to start creating.
Yeah.
And when you start creating, you start changing your life.
Yeah.
And you start changing the lives of other people as well.
Yeah.
Like you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's one of the things that I was drawn to about you so much, honestly.
Yeah.
Is that you are creating, and just by having me on this podcast, by having these podcasts, by doing the things that you're doing, you're touching a lot of people's lives and you're helping a lot of people better their lives. And for me, when you asked me to be on this podcast, like, I'm a very altruistic.
To be altruistic significa ser altruista. Quiere decir que tienes una preocupación por los demás, por la salud, por el éxito, por el bienestar de los demás.
Like, I'm a very altruistic, big-hearted person, not to flex my own ego.
Yeah.
But after being in war for so long, without getting emotional right now, I want to help anyone I can that is trying to help other people.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
I'm serious. I'm getting a little choked up, but like, it means a lot. But to directly touch on what you were saying, consuming is where it starts. Then you have to have the balls. You have to try to create.
Yeah.
Because that's what this life is about. This life is about creation.
Yeah. Daniel. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
¡Woo! Una entrevista bastante larga, ¿verdad? ¿Cómo te fue? ¿Cuánto pudiste entender? Estoy segurísimo que si llegaste a este punto, has hecho un gran logro en tu proceso de aprendizaje, porque pasaste por mucho tiempo de inglés nativo y lo entendiste. Así que felicidades. Recuerda que si quieres seguir mejorando tu inglés, la mejor forma de hacerlo es dentro de mi programa, donde tienes un plan de estudio, material preparado, grupos de conversación y hasta un profesor privado solo para ti, como parte de una oferta completa. Si quieres
quieres más información, haz clic en el enlace que está aquí abajo en la descripción del video. Y recuerda que tienes 2 semanas de prueba, así que puedes probar todos los servicios que tienes dentro del curso por 2 semanas enteras y luego tomas tu decisión. Si no te gusta, por cualquier motivo, te devolvemos el 100% de tu inversión. Así puedes probar todo antes de tomar tu decisión. Cuídate muchísimo y nos vemos en los siguientes.